Morning, all.
Good morning.
As we're singing about this is who God is, this is who He is, I'd just like to bring this scripture, which for me just really speaks about who Christ is, who Jesus is. It's from Colossians 1, verse 15 onwards. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through Him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things that we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through Him and for Him. He existed before anything else, and He holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is the body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So He is first in everything. For God in all of His fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through Him God reconciled everything to Himself.
Amen.
He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. And this includes you who were once far from God. You were His enemies, separated from Him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now He has reconciled you to Himself through the death of Christ in His physical body. As a result, He has brought you into His own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before Him without a single fault. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you have received when you heard the good news. I love that scripture because it describes Christ, Christ Jesus, the Son of God. He was there at the start. He was consulted about the creation of the earth. And He's in everything. He created everything. And with that in mind, I just get blown away every time when you think that Jesus came to the very earth that we walk on now in the restrictions of human flesh for His love for creation. And you just think about, He was there at the start. He's supreme. He is almighty. He was at the Father's right hand, and He chose to walk amongst humanity because He loved them so much. And I just love how the scripture flows down, talks about who Christ is, and then how He came to be with us and to connect to us because He wanted to reconcile us to Himself. And I'll just go back through where it says, you've been reconciled, He has reconciled you to Himself through the death of Christ in His physical body, and as a result He has brought you into His own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before Him without a single fault. But then the next scripture, it says, but you must continue to believe this truth that we've just said and stand firmly in it. And don't drift away from the assurance you have received when you heard this good news. So as we share the communion this morning, let's be reminded, let's be assured of what this good news is that we've heard and we hear every day, that we are holy and blameless. We are reconciled with God, the God of all of heaven and earth, who cares about us and wants to be connected with us. And He's created the way. So let's not drift away. Let's be reminded of that truth and stand firmly in it. Let's stand together this morning and we'll pray. Lord, I love the heading in the Bible of this verse where it says, Christ is supreme. I love that, that you are supreme over all of creation. And we declare that over our life, over our state, our situation, our bodies, that you are supreme, Lord. And we thank you for the path that you created by coming to this earth, Lord. You are the way. You are the only way to live in this life, to be in such a peaceful situation, to be connected to you, Lord. It's just, it is amazing. The creator of the heavens and the earth, we can be connected through Jesus to the Father, and I just get blown away. And we thank you for your body that was broken and bruised on behalf of humanity. You are the Savior, and we look to you and we love you, Lord. We thank you. And we thank you for the precious blood of Christ that was spilt. It just speaks so loudly and cleanses and renews, strengthens. We thank you for your blood, Lord.
Children, you're free to go. Everyone else, fasten your seatbelts. Glory to God. You know, we're singing that. Yeah, right. You got a spare mic there?
I actually want to cry when this word came to me. This week, as I was ministering to the students and people around me about Passover, I realized that so many of us sit broken, and there are such a lot of brokenness, and that we don't feel worthy of at all. Every song this morning spoke to my heart, and God led me to talk to the students about the restoration of Peter. Because Peter was so close to Jesus Christ. He was his right-hand man, one of them. Oh, we know that the Apostle of John was the loved one. But we know that Peter was bold, and Peter made bold mistakes. And so do we on a daily basis. And sometimes we land in a situation where we can't forgive ourselves. We, for many years, felt a need in our hearts. We had a best friend, and when we became Christians, we didn't talk to him about Jesus Christ. We did not want to take that step of stepping out and sharing our faith in Christ Jesus with him. Mm-hmm. And we've seen him October and December. He died with his eldest daughter in an airplane crash. And it took us years to forgive ourselves, to come to the point of realizing life goes on and we must learn from the mistakes we've made in the past. And as I was talking about the restoration, God gave me this word after the vision Sunday. Oh, the dream. The dream was a morning scene, but it was nighttime. So the dream was about times are running out for the Christian church, for us to do what we have to do. And the scripture is, so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus had to go after him. How many of us had a life where Jesus literally had to come after us? He had to pull me out of the corner I'd been hiding in because I felt not secure. I felt guilty. I felt everybody knows my sin. It's written all over me. This is how we live. And he's, oh, shakes this. And he said, Simon, son of Jonah.
Kevin.
Son of Jonah. Do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And in his heart, he must have said, Lord, you know I'm a failure. Why do you ask it? Why do you put me on the spot? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. And then he said, Jesus goes on and he said a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, you know that I love you. Lord, don't you know I love you? And Jesus said to him, tend to my sheep. So that's the next one. And then he said to him a third time, Jesus, he's got a prod, you know, he prods us a little bit. And he said, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. I can't hide anything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep, Ken. Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, and then we can just go on. But the word of God, it came to me when your lovely daughter was singing. This is where we're at, boys and girls. And I want to say to the men in this body, rise up. There's a special anointing on the men of God. It is time that you take your place. We as women, and I'm a woman, and my husband knows I don't want to serve under women. I love serving under men because the anointing of God rests upon the men in our midst. And you must take your rightful place and take the anointing and run with it so that we as girls can follow you. Don't be ashamed of your past. Rise up today. He loves you. He knows everything.
Awesome. Bless God. Great encouragement there for the church and for individuals. God does chase us. You know, that little song we were singing a little earlier, your goodness is running after me. I think sometimes we're running away from it. God's got to keep running after us. But I tell you something. And I turned to this scripture as that song was up. And it shall come to pass, if you will hearken or listen diligently to the voice of the Lord your God and observe to do all these commandments which have been commanded this day. Now, this is to Israel, but today we have still an obligation to follow the principles of God, not Ten Commandments. The Lord will set you high above all the nations of the earth. I love that. And these blessings shall come upon you and not running after you, but overtake you. Overtake you. So if you find the blessings of God are running after you, it's time to listen to the voice of God and sit down and chill for a bit. And then, whoa, what has happened? I've been overtaken. Overtaken. There's something that is completely overwhelming in that God wants to bring to us in his life. Amen. That's not what I got up here to share and preach, but that was following on. And I certainly believe that there's God is speaking to us in so many ways and encouraging us in so many ways and wanting us to hear his heart. We have got to sit and listen and diligently take it on board. And say, God, what are you saying to me? What do you want of me? And let him overtake us. Overtake us. Oh, I love that. That is so awesome. So awesome. You know, a lot of people here could probably quote Galatians 2:20. And I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I cheated now. But it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I missed a bit there. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Or it is no longer I who live. In one translation it is there, but Christ who lives in me. Now, I want to break this up while you're looking at that into a form that's going, that today I just couldn't believe it. As I was going through this, God just gave me this expose on it. It was a little bit exciting. Well, it is to me. And so I'm just going to give it to you in this format. I am crucified with Christ. However, or nevertheless, or in spite of that, or regardless of the fact that I have been crucified with him, I still live. But it's not just me, myself, and I. It's not the me that still lives. It is Christ, and it's not me alone anymore, but it is Christ living in me. And the important part of looking at that is that we are no longer in a solo race. I love that. It's Christ living in us. We've been crucified with him. In other words, put to death. And that's the importance of baptism, where we appropriate that work of Christ in our life. And we're identifying with that. But it's Christ in us, living in us, guiding us, sustaining us, talking to us, upholding us, blessing us, healing us, loving us, being ever present with us. Wow. Fully teaching and guiding us by his Spirit. I think that is just so amazing. Christ living in me has an amazing connotation for every facet and aspect of our life. Not just, oh, I've got Christ living in me, whoopee-doo, you know, I'm a Christian. No, this is so important, because there's a crucified life that Christ living in us will do his work through. If it's not a crucified life, you can have everything else you want in you, but you're not letting it happen. And even if Christ is in there and you are not a crucified life, he is, you know, you've got his hands tied behind his back. You've got him handcuffed. You've got him, you know, immobilized. If Christ is in us and we haven't got a crucified life, it's a waste of time. But a crucified life with Christ in us, whoa, whoa, these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. How good's that? How good's that? I love it. And the life, this life that I am now living in this flesh, in this world, and in this body, in my everyday existence, I live in because through, let me get all this right, in, by, and because, and through the faith of the Son of God, who loved me passionately, eternally, unfailing, and faithfully, and gave himself for me. Man, the Amplified version's good, but the Ken version's better. No, this is a God version, because it was just amazing how it was unfolding, how that we could see Christ in us as the hope of glory. In other words, if we are a crucified being to everything else, we're dead to everything else, we still live in the flesh, we still do our daily chores, we still go to work, we still have our you know, obligations and commitments to life, but we are living in a flesh that's crucified. And Christ in us is then able to perform all that he wants to do and be in and through us, freely, fully, and unhindered. Whoa! Whoa! That verse is just, it's always been one of my favorite verses. It's always been one of my easy to quote, I'm crucified with Christ, and appropriate. Every time I think of it, I think, yes, Lord, when I was baptized, I actually went through the motions of saying, Lord, I'm dying to myself so I can live for you. Do I do it all the time? No. But I have to do the same as what Anthony was talking about in that scripture at communion. I have to regurgitate, regenerate, relive, and reapply that principle over and over and over and over again to ensure my life doesn't fall short of what that crucified life is meant to be. Do I succeed all the time? No. Do I fail many times? Yes. But am I able to come back to God and say, Lord, I'm so sorry, but I am crucified with Christ. And I know, Lord, that I have to die to myself again in this area, again and again and again. And I constantly have to work on that. And that's something we need to appropriate in our lives to allow God to be who he wants to be in and through us. You know, a lot of people talk about being a Christian. We'll move on to the next slide. What is a Christian? I have a lot of people say to me, I'm a Christian. I'll say, well, what's a Christian? Huh? And they never have thought about it too much. Oh, I go to church. Whoopee-doo. Devil goes to a lot of churches, too. He listens to what's going on and then fouls up all of this stuff. You know, it's just crazy. I believe in Jesus. Devil believes in Jesus, too. But they tremble. Man, they are in fear of him because they know who he is. They tremble at him because he commands everything that he wants. And boy, they have no choice. When you command a demon to flee, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. I tell you what, you do that in the name of Jesus, he has nothing to stand on but gotta run. Gotta run. It's good. They believe in him. What about, you read the Bible? I'm sure the devil's done a few Bible studies too, because he wants to work out how we do things so he can upset us. Or, in a lot of instances, if you look at some of the cults and some of the mistruths that are around some, they call themselves Christian churches. You know, I think the devil's done a Bible study and then twisted and perverted God's principles and put them into practice in other areas. Sad, isn't it? You know, Jesus sent out the disciples and the people around him two by two. That sound familiar? There's a certain churches running around two by two knocking on people's doors, but they don't present the gospel, do they? You know, great biblical principle, but just twisted enough to get people deceived. Quite sad. Read the Bible, maybe. That's a good thing, as long as you're learning it, not just reading it for the sake of reading it. My nephew used to read the Bible every night. Without fail, he'd go through maybe a chapter or more, whatever. Did it affect him? Not one little bit. Did he believe it? Not fully. Sort of was there. It was beside his bed. He went to the bed, went to bed, read it at night. Did it speak to him? I don't know. I just could not get through to him about living his life for Jesus. Weird. And yet he could read the Bible constantly. Never, ever, ever took it any further. So that doesn't make you a Christian. None of these things will. You know, I worship God, I praise God. Yeah, you know, but that can often be lip service. We've got to understand there's far more to it than just the things that we do. These are what Christians do, and other people can do them and go through the motions, but it doesn't alter the inner man. In actual fact, there's a scripture I'll try and think of it where it is, but in the Amplified, these things do nothing to stem the something rather of the lower nature. Instead, they only make a person proud. It's what it says in the Amplified version. In other words, you know, do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that, taste this, don't taste that, don't eat this. And Scripture talks about that, where they're talking about, and Paul says none of these things. These all have an appearance of wisdom in, you know, self-sacrifice and worship of whatever, but they do nothing to stem the lower nature. They only make a person proud. That's the way it translates in the Amplified. Very similar to that. And I'm like, you know, we don't need to be doers in the sense of just going through the motions. The Bible does tell us to be here, not to be just hearers of the word, but doers, or doers and hearers. But we just don't want to be people that do things. Oh, go to church, believe in God, do this. That is not what we are. It's what we do. You know, you and I are human. Is the word up there? Beings. I am a being. What does that mean? I be a human. It's as simple as that. I don't go around and act in my normal life and, Ken must be a human. Because it's obvious that my very existence as a person, the way that I am, tells everybody, and you and I are human beings. We are beings. And we're not defined by what we do. The people go, oh, Fritz must be a human. He's sitting in a chair. It's got nothing to do with what he does. It's his existence. It's him. You know, that's it. And it's it's to be a Christian. It's the same in Christ. You're a believer. But there's something about who you are that makes you a believer. It's who you be when you are in Christ. It's what you have changed and become because of Christ in you. And that then defines who you are in Christ, not the fact that you put up your hand and responded to something and whatever. It's the fact that there is a being within you that changes your being to be a believer in Christ Jesus. Does that make sense? That's so true. It's an operative change within us. And the scripture says this, in him I live and move and have my being. Yes, being. So what I do can never ratify or define me in any way as anything else. And so to be that, there's a death to self. There's a death to self. There's no longer living for self. There's no longer my wants, my desires, my passions, what I want and everything that this life can probably generate for me to give me my pleasures. It's not the priority. Okay, there are things in life I enjoy. There are things in life that I care about. There are things in life that we do, but they are subservient to who I be in Christ. And that's where it has to be fully. To be a Christian is to live the way God expects of us. And so everything that we are in the natural comes in under the umbrella of I am crucified with Christ, buried with him in baptism, to walk in newness, a new way of life, a new understanding, a new dimension of life, because I've got this experience in my life that I've said, I've died to myself, I've died to the things of me, and I now want to only be what he wants me to be. I love that. I love that. And to be in Christ is to intentionally develop initially a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. It becomes part of him in us and us in him. Being. It's so important to develop that relationship with the Lord Jesus. And I'm really amazed at how hard sometimes that is presented or put. I know growing up as a Christian in a Christian home, Christian church, everything had its, I don't know, it never made sense to me that all the church format and structure and whatever have you seemed to impose too many rules. And I found I could never comply. I never met the standards that the church put there. And so I was always falling short of man's mark. That's sad. But then it was about 1974, it was, when I went to Bible college. Someone gave me a blue piece of paper. It's still in my Bible at home. It's still in my paper Bible. I open it up and here it is. And the top it says, who I am in Christ. And it took me into the scriptures and the understanding of what Christ had done and who he made me to be in him. And I'm like, I don't have to strive to make myself accepted in God. I'm looking at this. He's made me holy and acceptable and blameless in his sight. He's recreated me. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. So what's my obligations in the fact and in the sense that I am all of this in Christ? And it was where God led me to working on a personal relationship and an intimate relationship developed with him. Getting to know him, getting to understand him, getting to see in the word what his heart was for me. Pray, spend time with him, but give him time to talk as well. How many Christians pray and it's all, thank you, Father, and we pray all this in the name of Jesus, 10-4, over and out, you know? And like, well, 10-10 it is. 10-4 is an ongoing discussion. 10-10 is a truckie's over and out. Okay, 10-10, catch ya. And they go off the air. And I think that's how a lot of people pray their prayers. They've got an over and out, amen. And God's going, and they don't wait on God. And it's so important. I have found that the time I spend just letting God be God. And it's so important what the scripture says, to be still and know that I am God. In other words, to be still in his presence. And the scripture that says to be still and know that I am God is not so that we can know he's God, but be still. And the way I respond to you will give you that knowledge and understanding of how I want to be God in your life. Knowing that I am God in your situations, knowing that I am God in the answer to your prayers, knowing that I am God and responding to you in the way you're responding to me. And it becomes a two-way street of communication and intimacy. And 10 out of 10 people I've spoken to in the last, I don't know, a few months, you know, when did you spend time with God quietly recently? And they look at me silly. You know, they do. And I'm like, why? I think, God, I haven't had to talk to you about that. But, you know, people I meet everywhere. And they start telling me about things and I'm going, but what's God doing? Yeah. As if they're talking programs. And then I say, you know, when did you spend time quietly with God for him to give you something of himself? Yeah. Oh, I've been so busy lately. Why? Why? We can't afford to do that. If we're going to have our existence in him we live and move and by him we exist in, through and by and because of the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. Man, there's an importance in that. There is an importance in that we've got to understand that we can no longer be self-serving, but we've got to be God-serving. But we, you know, it applies and is an intricated, integral part, integrated, that's the one, I knew that, part of our everyday life. Yeah, and we go to work and we do our daily chores and we do things, but we're never away from the consciousness that we are in Christ and Christ is in us. And I know sometimes when I'm working, I can go through what I'm doing and something will come up in my spirit. And half an hour later, I'm thinking, this is all, when did I do that? I'm just going through the work things automatically and God has just taken my attention. It's just been insane. It's been so good. I find one of my most intimate times with God is behind the wheel of a car. And I've often driven to Queensland in the past. I haven't done it for a while and it's getting, I've got to get behind the wheel again, you know. But going up there on that Newell Highway, there's times when I've gone through towns and I've been through parks yet. Must have. Already almost a dubber, you know. When did that happen? But I've had a time with God and it's really amazing how I've, then I think, oh yeah, I went there, did this, did that. No, and my consciousness then gives me all of the thoughts of when I was driving through that town. But my mind and my spirit was being fed by God at the time. I don't sort of say, you know, you drive on your car and lose control and whatever have you. And I thank God for his protection. But I am so amazed at how much I get from God when I'm just in solitude with him. Like that. And it was funny, I'm listening to Brian Houston on Christian TV the other day. And he said, people have asked me how much time I spend with God. He said, depends on how much time I'm behind the wheel. I went, huh? He said, that's the greatest time I have with God because I've got so much to do. I've got to drive here, drive there. He said, when I'm behind that wheel and I'm alone with God, he said, nothing else matters except getting from point A to point B safely, but I'm with God. I went, wow. He said, I get some of my greatest inspiration when I'm alone with God driving the car. And I went, yes, I'm not the only one. You know, just it was good to hear. And so we need to give him time. And then we need to ask him, Lord, is there anything you want to talk about? I'm listening. I'm listening. You know, Samuel had to learn that lesson. Remember that? Remember Samuel? You know, Samuel. Eli, you called me? Twice, and Eli says, listen, when you next time you hear it, just say, speak, Lord, your servant's listening. Huh? Do we ever think about that? You know, we often have to discipline ourselves. And I think we need to turn around and quite often sit back and say, God, I'm all ears. If there's anything you'd like to talk about, let's talk. You may not get an audible voice. In fact, I've only ever had what I would consider a almost audible voice. It wasn't loud, but it was definitely God saying something directly to me in a very clear, concise manner. Other times it's an impression, it's a thought, it can be an inspiration. There's just so many ways God talks to us. But we've got to be prepared. We've got to grow up and get to know him and listen to him. We've got to develop our relationship in order to develop our love for him. Now that works in the natural as well as the spiritual. You know, you don't just, you know, marry someone and say, well, gee, that was a great wedding. I'll see you in a couple of weeks and ignore them. You know, I'll send you a card for your birthday and I'll see you at Christmas. What type of relationship and love development would be in that? Blah. You know, you wouldn't know each other's heart. You wouldn't know each other's thoughts. You wouldn't know each other's passions and desires. And grow in love, and growing in love is an exciting part of being together with the person God's joined you with. It's incredible. Now, you know, a married person here would argue with that, is there? Because it's so true. It's so true. And if we don't make a quality decision to continue loving, it creates hassles. And I still now make quality decisions to continue to love. I have to. People get under your skin, including your wives. But us blokes, you know, I don't know how they, you know, just don't accept the fact that we're almost perfect. No, just she's not listening. No, but it's true. And if we don't choose to love, that getting under the skin becomes an irritation. Then it becomes a separation, and it's so sad. But we have the same thing with God. There are so many Christians through a great experience of salvation have had this amazing relationship and work with God. And after a while, it becomes a formality. And they're going through motions. And they've lost their intimacy. And they've lost their heart. God, and I'm not growing in love for him any longer. We can't afford that. We can't afford that. We've got to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And we continue to fall in love with him. We continue to grow in love for him because he's constantly loving us. But if it's not a two-way street, it doesn't work that well for us. When we start to love him like that, we start to love what God loves. Amen. Love the church. We love his people. We love other people. We love people. We love the creation that he's made because we love him. Incredible. When you two people come together, you know, you find out what the other person's likes and dislikes are and what they are passionate about. And your passions eventually are passions of theirs. You know, it works amazingly well. You know, things I never ever thought I would like, I love now, you know, and Lexi's the same. She even started loving motor racing. Man, that was a miracle. Incredible. She's a bit over it now, unfortunately, but she was in the beginning. Ah, dear. Oh, what the scripture says this in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? What? This body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which I have in you from God, and you are not your own. I don't belong to me anymore. That's an interesting thing. The beauty of that too is if the body is not my own, if my body belongs to God, then will he look after it? Can I trust him to look after it? It was amazing. I was listening to Dan Moller a few weeks back, and Kerry told me to look at this one. And Dan Moller's out running. And as he's running, his knee gave way. And he said, I'm a runner. He says, I love running. And he said, you can't run with a bung knee. So he said, I pulled up on the street and I said, knee, you have not finished serving me yet. You have a long way to go, and this body needs you, and it's going to continue to serve God, and you're going to continue to serve me for many years yet. Get right, get healed, get back, and in the name of Jesus. And off he went. He said, did it heal up straight away? No. He says, I ran for about 15 minutes and then I realized there was no more pain. He said, my knee came back to full restoration. It's funny, this week I'm at work and I'm on a concrete floor and I turned, but my rubber-soled shoes gripped. And as they gripped, I felt my knee go, and it was sore. I'm talking sore. I thought of Dan Muller. Said, knee, you listen to me in the name of Jesus. You have got many years of service in you yet, and I'm going to serve God, and you're going to serve this body, and you're going to serve me, because this body's got a lot to do yet, so don't muck around, get right in the name of Jesus. You know what happened? Boom. Totally, totally healed. Like I said last week, speak to the mountain. You got to talk to it. You got to bring it into line. And if this body belongs to God and I look after it, will he also look after it? Yeah. You better believe it. Amen. Your body is God's. You are not your own. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know, we tend to look after the spirit a lot because we want to feed our spirit, read the word, pray. The body is also God's. And it says, glorify God in your body. So if Christ is in us, he is living in us. The way he is seen through us is through this body. Amen? This body has got to function for God. It's got to carry us. It's got to do what it's got to do. And I'm telling you, what Dan Moller taught me in that little exercise, I have spoken to myself so many times and seen God do things in this body because it's his anyway. It's your body, Lord. You better look after it. No, not really. I got to look after it. I got to trust him because he's faithful. Amen? Amen? I tell you what, if you're not your own, and the life I'm not living is not mine, and if I am God's, I got to recognize why. It says, you are not your own. You are bought with a price. Man, there's currency that God's got that this world knows nothing about. What's it called? The blood of Jesus. We are bought with a price. That currency has no equal on this planet. Gold can't compare. Nothing else can compare. God's highest currency was paid for you and I to redeem us to himself. And I'll tell you what, we've got to value that so much more. This communion we take, to me, is one of the greatest things we can do when we come together as a church in appreciation of what Christ did for us, and the fact that he rose again and he took it all on his hands to ensure everything that he gave us and made available to us is administered correctly when we're available. Wow, I love that. My life is surrendered to him alone. Therefore, I need and should and am and obliged to glorify God in all that I am, say, and do. I need to develop an active faith, a faith that trusts him, that exudes confidence in God. And I really believe that sometimes we don't have the confidence in God we should have. If God said it, and if God's provided it, and if God instructs it, sometimes we still cower away. Why? Why? We need to be like the apostles in the book of Acts. The first thing that they did when the Holy Ghost fell on them, they were filled with what? Boldness. Boldness. Amen? And I really believe that's been a quality that has been lacking in the church, and God wants to restore it so that we are bold for Him and not cowering back when situations demand we take a stand and make a stand for Him. And it took me a long time to learn that. But to tell you what, the reason I'm crucified with Christ is so I could be dead to myself. And Paul said, I die daily. He even said, I die daily. He got up in the morning recognizing he was still in control and said, God, I'm dying to myself because I'm living for you. We don't do that. There's a daily death that Paul went through. I'm not quite there yet, I'll tell you. I've still got a little bit of the old man in the way. But that death is incredible. And I've said this before. Ever seen a dead man blush? No. You can't embarrass a dead man. So why are we holding back, not speaking for Jesus? You know? Oh, I just don't know what to say. I get embarrassed. Why? You're not dead yet. Die, and then you won't get embarrassed. Simple. It's a solution. I'm giving you a solution. You'll never be embarrassed again. But that's the only way we are going to have an active, proactive, confident faith to do what God wants us to do. And we will be like Peter and John. I brought up a little earlier. I didn't know Kerry was going to say what she did. But when they were at that temple gate, and there's the guy sitting down, and he's crippled from birth. Now, tell me if Jesus hadn't walked past that guy. He went in and out that temple several times. He would have been there from birth. But he was not crying out at that time. Who knows? Maybe he didn't reach out to Jesus. Maybe he didn't cry out that day. Maybe he wasn't looking for alms that day. I don't know. But he was laid there daily from birth. So there wasn't a day that he wasn't there that Jesus went in and out that temple. Yet this particular day, he catches Peter and John's attention. Sirs, cried out for alms. Hey, look on us. And he looked up expecting to receive. Can we see people in need and say, would you look at me? It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's the life I now live in the flesh. I live in, through, by, and because of the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm not my own. Therefore, glorify God in my mortal body, which is his. Woo-hoo! So if someone has a need, look at me. And will they look with an expectancy? This guy did. Sorry, dude, got no money. But what I have got, I'm going to give you in Jesus' name. Rise up and walk. Jesus told us to heal the sick. He didn't say pray for the sick. Can you think about that? Why he has given us a healthy body is to impart a healthy body to someone else. In Jesus' name. Why not? And I'm sure that that's the thing that has been missing, you know. Oh, we got to pray for so-and-so, da-da-da, you know. Oh, God, please heal so-and-so. No, he didn't ever said pray to me to heal them. It's not in the Word. He said, you heal the sick, you cleanse the leper, you raise the dead. The works I do, you will do also, and greater. That's scary. If that doesn't put a chill down your spine, nothing will. But I'm telling you, I'm going, Lord, I need to know how to act and step out in that level of faith so that I am not holding back in any way, shape, or form what you want me to do. If I'm crucified with Christ, I must be active with him. But the Bible says, if we are made in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. And he is a resurrected, all-powerful, all-supreme, all-ruling, all-reigning, loving, faithful God. And he wants us to emulate him in every way that he is now. Now, what he did on earth was amazing, because he said, the things I do, you're going to do also, and greater. Why is it greater? Because if we've been made conformable to his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Whoa, there's a greater measure. There's a greater level. There's a greater way that God wants to work in and through every one of us. And if we develop an intimacy and a relationship with him, that's where we get into it. I want to go through this quickly with you. Can we say all this? Next slide. Can you repeat this with me? Can we stand together as a commitment to God? Together. This life I live is not together. Come on. Is not my own. I am purchased with amazing price, the blood of the Lord Jesus, who fully valued me enough to do so. My life and all I am or and ever will be belongs fully to him. Next slide. Lord Jesus, I open my heart and life to you as never before, to allow you full access, authority, and input into this life that now fully belongs to you. I am surrendered to you. Please correct my shortcomings and failures. Strengthen me, body, soul, and spirit, to walk in honor, fully effective with Christ in me, well-pleasing to you and upright before you. Whew. We're without excuse. We need to hear his voice. We need to know what he wants for us. We need to be obedient to that voice. We need to follow him implicitly and intimately. The word of God tells us to enter in to our chamber, enter into our closet and shut the door. Is that on? Don't know if I got volume up or not. It should be there. It's on? I'm going to put the words of this song up as well. In the chamber. You know, a chamber is a quiet place. A chamber can be a place where you're in solitude with God. Enter into your closet and shut your door. It can be a quiet place. It can be your bedroom. It can be an office. It can be anywhere. But let's just call it a chamber of quietness before God. Father, I worship you out of my spirit. Blessing and thanking you in my own way. Your heart I covet, Lord, your will and purpose. So into submission I surrender this day. Into the chamber, be free, Holy Spirit. Speak to me gently as I close the door. Heavenly Lover, let thy presence cover. Shekinah unending is all I long for. Now on my pathway, the winepress falls heavy, but bringing forth only the best of the wine. So I press toward the mark for the prize of high calling, to be a part of that beautiful lady and bride. into the chamber, be free, Holy Spirit. Speak to me gently as I close the door. Heavenly Lover, let thy presence cover. Your glory unending is all I long for. Father, us today, every one of us, will have a new resolve to spend time in a chamber with you. Yes. To spend time to hear your voice. To know you more intimately, to be fully crucified with Christ, yet still live, but not us, Christ living in us. And the life we're living in the flesh, we will live fully in, through, by, because of the faith of the Son of God, who so loves us, gave himself for us. I pray your blessing over every person in this place today, Lord God, to be fully effective for you in your kingdom, in Jesus' name. Bless you all. Amen. In him I live and move and have my being. Next one. I'm a new creature in Christ, and with joy I sing. His life, his love, his nature and ability. I'm mine as I reign in life because he lives in me. I believe in my heart Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe he was raised from the dead to justify me. I confess him as my Lord, physician, and King. And in him I live and I move and I have my being. This is thrown in for extra. In him I live and move and have my being. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I cannot be conquered, I'm a stranger to defeat. And by his riches and glory he supplies my need. I believe in my heart Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe he was raised from the dead to justify me. I confess him as my Lord, physician, and King. And in him I live and I move and I have my being. Next slide now, got it. Oh, in him I live and move and have my being. What a vast storehouse of power in Christ my King. In Christ my Savior and Lord I have life today. And strength for impossible tasks have come my way. Come on, I believe in my heart Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe he was raised from the dead to justify me. I confess him as my Lord, physician, and King. And in him I live and I move and I have my being. And in him I live and I move and I have my being. I've held you up for ages. Now Kerry's going to take over. But we do have a couple of quick announcements.
Coming up before he keeps going.